May be seated. So this morning, we put a little phrase up on the screen where it reads, gifts given always, 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 always elicit a response. Gifts given always elicit a response. I want to share with you three examples of my life where gifts given to me elicited a variety of responses in my life. And I remember in grade five, the gift that I was longing to receive was a G.I. Joe Tomahawk helicopter. This, a lot of my relationship with my parents really depended upon whether or not they would deliver on this. Like, this was amazing. This was, had captured my heart. Idolatry begins early in life. And I was convinced that this gift would solve so much of my life at that point. And my mom and dad are cagey when it comes to how they wrap and mark the presents. My mom would wrap it in paper and just put a number on it. And no one would know whose number that was. She would have it in like a Da Vinci Code binder in her room and like pull out the crack code on Christmas morning. Like, number 3-4 is Phillips. And this box, it kind of, like, parents sometimes do this, and listen, I'm a parent now, so I'm trying not to do what my parents did to hurt me deeply, which was buy gifts that look like what we want and lead us to believe that this is, no, this story ends well, like, it ends well, but, like, I was looking at it with a number, I didn't know whose it was, and I opened it up, and I got that for Christmas. It was, like, amazing. And the response that it elicited from me was happiness. Till about noon, when my brother had got the G.I. Joe hovercraft, which, for very strange reasons, the Tomahawk looked like nothing compared to this. The hovercraft could go in the tub. It could like let go depth chargers. It had a jet ski before jet skis were a thing. Like, it had all these things. And I loved the gift. It elicited a response of happiness for several hours, and gifts given always bring about a response. Another Christmas morning at my house. This is grade 10. My mom bought me a shirt kind of like this, because we had transitioned from sweatpants and sneakers to like khakis and kind of preppy kind of clothes and those things. Because anyway, just as you mature, you should not wear sweatpants anymore. Some of you still need to hear that. This was the shirt I got from my mom. And in grade 10, my mom and dad had started the habit of my grandparents would give them money and then they would go buy gifts for us, because they lost track of like what they liked and styles and all those things. So I had opened a shirt from my mom, which was great. I get my grandparents' Woodworth gift and I open it up. And I open up the same shirt, not a different shirt, the same shirt. And I'm like, huh. And my mother is like, huh. I'm like, yeah. Like, how did this happen? Like, I had asked for clothing, and you bought me the same shirt from the same store, just at different days. So then I get my grandparents' Downies gift from my mom, and I open it up, and I get the same shirt. Three times from my mom. And what amazed me is she had no idea that she had bought me the same shirt from the same store at three different times when she was there. So the future is bright for me when it comes to some of those issues. But this is the response that this gift elicited. It's sarcasm and teasing. I'm 40 and I deliberately work ways to tell this in a sermon. Like, this is how this gift has worked itself out in my life. Another gift that's not from my mom or my dad, but from my wife. Last year was my 40th birthday. And every time I drive by this particular building, it conjures up all kinds of great thoughts and great memories, where Amy, unbeknownst to me, had planned a surprise 40th birthday party, had invited a bunch of you to come out to that event. And what was weird is on that Friday night, Gordon called me, Pastor Gordon. He's like, hey, let's go for coffee. And I'm like, that is the weirdest request ever at this time of the week. But sure, let's go for coffee. And he brought me out and we talked about nothing for an hour while Amy was getting set up. And then he drove me to this building. and walked in, and a lot of you were there, and had a great time together celebrating that I'm 40, that I've been on the earth this long, and that meant a lot. And every time I drive by, the gift that this elicits in me is one of just deep, heartfelt affection. Every time I drive by, I think of that day, I think of that night, and the memories, and the people, and all of those kinds of things. Gifts given always elicit a response in our lives. Over the past 3 weeks, we've been highlighting different songs that have been written by individuals who are describing the gift that has been given at this time of year. We highlighted Zechariah, we highlighted Mary, we highlighted the angel's song that are describing some of the themes that come at this time of year because of who has come years ago in Jesus Christ. Each of these songs describe realities where it speaks as though God has come to us, to his people, to redeem them, where God has raised up a horn of salvation. And for us in our age, we don't know what that phrase means, but to them, this was a big deal, that God had sent Messiah to raise up a horn of salvation, to provide a way out from a slavery that they were in to their sin, that God has now shown mercy in sending his son to his people, that he's going to rescue us from the hands of our enemies, that good news of great joy has come today in the city of David. There has been a Savior born, and this is the news that the shepherds hear. And this is a tremendous, this is an amazing gift that God has given to his world that he deeply, deeply loves. And I love the responses that come from each of these individuals that are involved as God declares this gift to these individuals. Zechariah, when he understands that his son John is going to play a vital role in the ministry of Jesus, Zechariah's response is, I will live my life faithfully to the very end, declaring who you are to people who need to hear this good news. Zechariah, unaware when he prays that and sings that, that his life ends a couple years later. He's killed because of his commitment to who Christ is. That the shepherds essentially quit their jobs in the hillside to run into Bethlehem to see this now Christ who has been born. Mary, I love this kind of moment where she is told, and it's this weird place of like, I'm going to be mom, and I'm going to give birth to my son and my Redeemer. And she just kind of ponders these things. The weight of this just plays around in her mind, and she is a follower of Christ for the days of her life. I love the story of this gift that has been given. And this is the simplest, shortest sermon that you'll ever hear me preach. And I want to land really on this question to you. What is your response to the gift that has been given to us in Christ? Every single gift elicits a response. And not all of them are good. I remember one Christmas, my wife gave me a CD. And if you know me, this will be hilarious. If you don't, it's still hilarious because country music is awful. She gave me Shania Twain's Greatest Hits. It's kind of those gifts where it's like, this is really for you. You just wrapped it up with my name on it. It was kind of like one of those presents. So every gift given is an opportunity. It elicits a response from us. So as we consider the gift that has come to the world in Jesus Christ from God, what is our response to this particular gift? If you're a follower of Christ, it's very, very simple. We just continue on following. We continue discovering who he is all the more and run after that, pursue that by faith with the Spirit of God living inside of us as he reveals areas of our life that are outside of his heart for us. And it might be areas of worship. It might be areas of prayer. It might be areas of reading the scriptures. It might be areas of growing in our generosity. It might be areas of seeking out ones that those relationships are broken and restore those relationships. It might be a host of different things. And I know. I've grown in the church and I hear people when they hear about the things that God is asking us to do, it's like, well, why would I just sign up for more laws and rules? Listen. There is but one person in the world who understands how to live and how to live well. Like all the things that I'm after, hope and joy and peace and rest and contentment, and all of those things are found in Christ and life in Christ, period. There's no one else. So when he says, go and do these things, it's so that you might experience the fullness of what he has provided in himself in your life. This is the point. It's not to be good enough to gain something at the end. It's so that you can live. This is why Christ says, I've come into the world so that you might live and live to its full. This is the great news of Christ. This is the point of this particular day. This is the gift that's been given. And for those of us who are followers of Christ, we lean into this all the time. Every day we grow in these realities. And I know, because I'm your pastor, I've been here for years now, and it's a joy to watch you grow in these realities. Where you get tragic news of death or cancer or something, and you're fine because of who... Yes, it's sad, but you're fine. That when you walk through life, you are okay. Yes, there's tears. Yes, there's grief. Yes, but there's this deep-seated thing at work in you that is not because you're good. It's because Christ is bringing these things to fruition in your life. And it is awesome to watch that be formed in you. So as a Christ follower, our response to the gift given is just to keep running. Keep pursuing. Keep exploring. Keep unfolding the fullness that God has provided to us in Jesus Christ. For those of us who are not followers of Jesus Christ, our response is just as simple. We can absolutely waste it. We sit through services, we hear it in the songs as you walk through the mall. You'll probably be watch some kind of show or hear some kind of lyric sung by or said something about Christ has come. Joy, peace, hope, love, all of these aspects woven into this theme, and we will absolutely waste the gift that God has given to us. And in a very weird way, continue to find what Christ can only offer in G.I. Joe Tomahawk helicopters. And what's funny and sad about it is, we are just mature 11-year-olds. That's all we are. The gifts no longer are $19.99. They are $39,000, $49,000, whatever. But we think in these things we will accomplish and acquire and experience. And all we're doing is raising up a gift that God has given to be something more than it was meant to be, just a blessing in your life, to be the God of your life, which always leaves you broken, alone, empty in a ditch somewhere. And because I am your pastor and I've been with you a long time, I have watched that unfold in life over and over and over. It's because we just waste the gift that's been given. Or, if we're not a follower of Christ, we can respond with gladness and follow and learn to do life in a way that is vastly different from how we do life. Vastly different. And as we lean in, I know in the front end it's uncomfortable. I know that there's new habits that we drop or take on and old ones that we drop, and we struggle through that. I get that. I know that it's not like a 24-hour cycle and all of a sudden you're great. We lean in and we discover and we begin to grow, and then all of a sudden we come to this moment of faith and practicing what Jesus would ask us to do, and like that sounds scary, and it is, and we walk through that and we're like, oh, would you look at that? He knows what he's talking about. And we grow in the next thing, and we grow in the next thing, and we grow in the next thing. This time of year, it is the annual reminder of that God has sent his Son into the world as a gift to you and I. That we can walk with him. That we can engage him. That he engages us. That we are not alone in the world. That the Creator of everything walks with us in every season of life. Why would we ever waste such a gift? What, in my own life, I want to grow in all that Christ has provided for me through his life, death, and resurrection. I want all of you to experience those things as well. Because life is fantastic. When we, if I can steal the sun life, when we live under the sun. And I'm not talking about my account. I'm talking about Christ. It's amazing. Life is spectacular when we follow Jesus Christ by faith. And so many of us, we go through this Christmas season, hear the story, keep on going. Hear the story, keep on going. 74 years later, hear the story, keep on going. And the very thing that we're looking for is in this gift. Zechariah knew it and responded. The shepherds knew it and responded. Mary knew it and responded. And millions of people down through the years continually respond and come to discover life and life to its full in Jesus Christ. This morning, we have three of our people who have responded to who Jesus Christ is. Danielle, Dean, and David. And if you'll forgive me, we're going to walk into a bit of a cumbersome section of the service because all of our kids that are downstairs are going to come up as we get ready for a baptism service. So here is the first layer of instruction that we will go through. We're going to show a video testimony of Dean, who is sitting right there. When that ends, if you have a preschool child, we're going to get you just to go out into the foyer so that it's not like the March of the Penguins where they come in and they hear your call. Like, you go out there and gather your kids and bring them to your chair and they're going to sit with you, okay? During the song that Kevin and team are going to lead, all the other kids are going to come up and they're going to sit here in this zone. That's why that's kind of a little bigger. And they're going to sit here with their group leaders as we gather around the baptismal and celebrate with these three individuals that have responded to Jesus Christ by faith. So let's watch this. I'll come back and do this again because I know that you didn't pay attention.
A lot of, I found my life was just coping with stuff. I was never dealing with it. So just finding, you know, what's something I can go buy or what's something I can go do with the boys that'll make me forget anything that I didn't want to deal with. And it all came to a head, I guess, and it's time to start changing my life rather than coping with it day after day.
Yes, yeah, with the preschool.
Drinking for sure, you know, you go out, have some beers with the guys, have a good time, you wake up, you feel like garbage, and then, you know, the next day starts again and you're back to ground zero. What was it that kind of got your attention to come back and revisit this whole conversation of faith and following Christ?
My family. My uncle is a Presbyterian minister, and he throughout has always, you know, stay grounded, man. Like, keep your head up, you know who's there for you for a purpose. And Kelsey, my fiance. The whole idea of literally being cleansed and reborn, and to me it seems a lot more than just a symbolic thing. I think it's very important to physically put yourself through that, and it just makes it feel so much more real. I think you probably said it best. I find myself just being a lot more happy now. Much more peaceful. I think now having something to direct you and having a purpose every day rather than sitting around or waiting for something to change, having direction to get up and, you know, you're supposed to be doing something today, whether it's for you or for somebody else or learning, or it just, when you have that direction, it changes, you know, the whole way you look at everything. So for me, that's given me a lot of peace. I'm unbelievably excited for it. My parents were married for a while, but it wasn't a marriage that was focused on faith in any way. I mean, we went to church, but there was no foundation under it. And so I think for me, it's to now look at marriage as something that you do together for God. To me, that's exciting because I don't know what it's going to look like. I've never seen it. I want to raise my family, my children with Kelsey, in a much more Christianity-oriented home. Like, I want to raise a home of believers. I want to share that with a family and to see how somebody can grow when you keep that instilled in them the whole way through.
So the little ones are out back. So if you have a preschooler, we're going to ask you to go find your little one, come back and grab a seat. Our baptismal people, we're going to have them come sit right here in these four chairs. Kevin and Cindy and team are going to lead us in a song. And then there's going to be a mass of other kids come up and find a spot right over here. And then we'll continue on with our celebration of baptism here in a few moments.
Mary, did you know that your baby boy will one day walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? This child that you've delivered will soon deliver you. Mary, did you know that your baby boy will give sight to a blind man? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would calm a storm with his hand? Did you know that your baby boy has walked where angels draw? When you've kissed your little baby, then you've kissed the face of God. The blind will see, the deaf will hear, the dead will live again. The lame will leap, the mute will speak, the praises of the Lamb. Mary, did you know that your baby boy was Lord of all creation? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will one day rule the nations? Did you know that your baby boy is heaven's perfect lamb? The sleeping child you're holding is the great I.
You guys come on in and kind of come way over here on this side, and then that way we can kind of stack everybody up on top of one another in an orderly fashion, as much as you can do that with 100 kids. So we're just waiting for the other ones. This is the older group, they're the ones that listen well. Where's David? Okay, he's here, and Daniela's right here. So while the other ones arrive, I'm just filling time. So I want to explain what's unfolding here. When we baptize someone, we are visually creating a scene that has described what has gone on inside their own life, inside their own heart, where said person has said, I want to follow Christ. I want to be a follower of Him. And when we take someone down, they are visually saying,